You're listening to the Copywriter On Call podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Gillis, copywriter, word magic maker, and owner of What Sarah Said. On this podcast, you'll feel empowered to show up online in a way that has you saying, "That's so me." Let's get started. All right. Welcome back to another episode of the Copywriter On Call podcast. I am your host, Sarah Gillis, and I am logging some on-call hours today with my blog writer and my friend, Natty Davis. Hi, I'm so excited that you're here.
Me too. I'm so excited.
Yay. All right. So you are the Natty behind Natty Writes, and yes. I would love for you to tell us all about who you are, what you do, and what you love about what you
yes.
do.
So I love that everyone calls me Natty. So I'm Natalie, but my brand is Natty Writes. So everyone calls me Natty. I love it so much. So Natty Writes is, I do blog and email writing for business owners, service providers. And so I primarily lean into blog content because that's what I'm so passionate about. But then once people start implementing blogs in their business, they very much are like, okay, how can I let this flow into my emails. And so I also help people with that as well. So I offer like different types of services for ways for people to do that. But yeah, primarily just like your blog content queen. That's what I love to be known for. And I love to provide value for people on that.
I love it. And tell us a little bit more about who you are personally, what you love, what you enjoy, where you're at, all those good things too.
Yes. So I'm located in North Georgia. So I was born and raised in North Georgia, grew up in a really small town. And I still live pretty close by to all of my family. Very family oriented person around here. Quality time is my love language. My husband and I have our first baby on the way. So we're really excited, but also like nervous because it's like, okay, here we go, you know, but it's really exciting time of life. But yeah, so what's so cool about me? I don't know. I love to binge watch Gilmore Girls. That's my that's my comfort show. So that's like something personal about me, and people would definitely catch on to that if they went on my website. I love Rory Gilmore. And then also my favorite movie ever is Mean Girls. So you would also catch on to that if you're on my website, because I make little references here and there because I can't help myself. I just like the quotes live in my head rent free all the time.
Love that so much. Yes. I love that so much. You're at such a fun time expecting your first baby, really kind of pivoting into this big kind of transition into your life, both personally, but also professionally. There's a lot going on for you professionally right now, and we're going to get to that. But I want to dive in first to this idea of blogging. Yes. I started working with you back in April of 2023. So it's almost been a year. We're a couple months away from a year, which is bananas.
Crazy. Whenever I saw that, I was like, wait, a year? That's insane. I can't believe it.
That is nuts. I feel like you've been a part of my business way longer than that.
It feels that way for sure.
Yeah. And so I just want to dive in a little bit to why blogging is on your heart and why it's something that we as creatives don't necessarily do, even though we know we should. Yes. So tell me a little bit about why blogging is on your heart and why we as creatives just don't do it, even though we're
sure. So I think I always like to kind of provide a backstory on like, okay, how did I get to this point of writing blogs for people? Because that's not necessarily what you see a ton of people doing. You see a ton of copywriters, but they're doing like websites, and their focus is much more like on like launches, sales pages, things like that. And I'm much more about like the nurture content in someone's business. But a kind of backstory on this, my first job ever was actually at a law firm doing blog writing. That's all I did all day long, was write blogs for a law firm. It was very boring, but I actually really like fell in love with the idea of blogs for businesses. And I'm like, wow, I just don't think that many people are utilizing this. And then I ended up leaving that job. I went to a different job, and that's where I learned a lot of just like different things about marketing. I was there for about 3 years, and then I left to create something of my own. I didn't know exactly what I would be doing, but I found myself in this blog and email world, and it just kind of has evolved from there. And the reason that I think a lot of creatives just don't do it, or they like kind of ignore it, is because we have this idea of blogs in our head of something that's like old school, something that it's just for like lifestyle bloggers or influencers. Like, you know, business owners don't view themselves as that, because we're not influencers. You know, we're providing services or selling products. And so I think that's one of the reasons that it's often avoided because it has that like stigma around it of, oh, mm-hmm. that's just what they do. That's not something I would do. And so I really love like helping people shift their perspective around blog content and helping them see what it really can be for their business, because it is such a valuable nurture platform to have. And the key with it is that it lives forever. So I'm all about blogs first, like social media second, not because social media isn't awesome. Like I use it as a tool in my business for sure. But I just think we've gotten so obsessed with social media because it's so like trendy and that's where people are. And it's just like instant gratification. And trust me, like I'm right there with you. But from like a business standpoint, if you think about yourself like 5 years from now, 10 years from now, do you really want to be like tied to Instagram every single day? Like I don't. Like I'm even thinking like as I am about to have a baby, I'm like, wow, the fact that I have blog content on my website that's working for me all the time, like that feels so good. And the fact that someone could literally Google, you know, a simple question and you have a chance to populate in those results is really powerful. But that's not going to happen as easily if you don't have content like that on your website. So that's kind of a long answer to why we don't do it, why it's ignored, and why I'm super passionate about it, because it is so powerful whenever you kind of change your perspective and start to realize like, oh, this is actually a very timeless thing. That's what I help people understand. It's not trendy. Like it's not going away. Blogs have been around since the internet was like created, which is actually a really cool thing, you know, and we're not promised tomorrow with social media. So that's where my heart is. That's where I really like to help people understand.
I love that. I love that so much. I hear all the time that, excuse me, I hear all the time that like blogs are dead or people aren't reading blogs. And it's like, you guys, it's not just about what's trendy, what people are reading today. It's about what people are reading tomorrow, what they're searching for 2 weeks from now on Google. Yeah. And so I feel like it's really important, especially for new business owners, but also for established businesses. Mm-hmm. Like I would call myself more established when I reached out to you and I'm like, girl, I need this off my plate. So I feel like it's valuable on both sides of that spectrum, right? It's for new business owners. Yeah. But also for those established ones.
100%. And I always say, like, if you're a new business owner, like, great, you're in a great position to start here. But if you've been in business for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, I don't even care. It's not too late to start, because the good news for you is you already have a ton of content that you can then just turn into blog posts. So a lot of times people will say, well, I don't know what I would write about. And I always am like, well, if you're creating content in any capacity right now, you know exactly what to write about because you're doing it just in a different way. But one other thing I wanted to come back to that you said is whenever people say blogs are dead or people don't read them, I always am like, okay, well, have you Googled something today? And the whatever you're being fed in search results is most often a blog like article of some sort, but people just don't realize that. And so whenever you can really like just be like, no, for real, like you're reading a blog almost every single day, it really helps people be like, oh, well, that's true. Like I want to be able to populate in search results as well when people are searching things in regard to like my industry.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, we may not read blogs in the way that we used to. I mean, I was like a Google Reader like fanatic back in the day where like I would go into Google Reader every day and see what new blog posts were there and I would sit and read. And I don't do that anymore.
No.
But I tell you what I do now is when I Google things, I look for a source I know. I look for a source I trust. Mm-hmm. And I look for something recent that's not necessarily like news, but it's something I can actually dive into the meat of it, right? And so I think that's such a good point.
Yeah, that's really the thing, is that it's not that blogs are dead, it's just that they've evolved. And so I think that sometimes is hard for people to understand or recognize. And so that's just like one of the perspective shifts that I help people make.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's so important to look at it not only as like a content creation issue, but as a mindset piece too.
Yes,
that's 100%. What I love so much. Yes, it's so important. So obviously the benefits of blogging are many, but in case somebody's on the edge and they're like, okay, Natty, I'll listen. What are some other benefits of blogging, particularly when it comes to what you said earlier about this idea that you're about to have a baby and your blogs are still working for you? So tell us a little bit about the benefits of blogging.
Yes, absolutely. So one thing that, you know, I feel like people hear a lot about whenever they hear blogging is the SEO piece, which is search engine optimization. And that is 100% a thing. But what's interesting is I actually don't start there whenever I talk about benefits of blogging, because my approach is that we're going to take an audience first approach with your blog content, meaning we are going to like dive into content that your audience one needs to know, like, you know, regarding your industry, but also like they want to know, like they are asking you these questions. That's the kind of content that we're going to create first. And I always say that SEO kind of just becomes a cherry on top of everything that you do, especially when you start doing it consistently. But I don't want to ignore the fact that a huge benefit of blogging is the SEO piece and the organic traffic. The more that you do it, the more that you're going to start to populate in Google search results. And of course, that's what people want. Because I mean, honestly, when you think about it, so many business owners, one of the first things they do is create a website for their business, which is awesome, but just having a website isn't going to do you much good if it can't be found. So that's one thing for sure is the organic search traffic. And I am all about organic growth over here. No like shade to paid traffic at all, because it definitely has like a time and a place. But I think when you get a good grip on your organic traffic first, that's when you can kind of start shifting into like the paid traffic and exploring those avenues. So that's one for sure. But also just kind of going back to that audience first approach to your blogging, one of the biggest benefits is that you're really going to become like a go-to person for your industry, because the more consistent that you do it, you know, your audience is going to know, if I have a question about blank, I know that I can go to this person and they probably already have content created for me to refer to, or I could at least ask them a question about it. So, you know, I've kind of established myself as like that go-to person for blogs. Of course, there's other people out there that do it, but a lot of people do refer people to me when they get questions about blog content, because you know, that's the whole point. You're building your expertise and your credibility in your industry, which is so huge, because business like moves at the speed of trust. So the more that someone can like build that trust more quickly, the more they're going to follow you, the more they're potentially going to work with you, which I just think is so, so powerful. And kind of on that note, what I love to help people understand too, is that blogs aren't just for nurturing your audience. Of course they are like a huge nurture platform. Like you're going to be providing a ton of value, but something that I love to help people see is that your blogs kind of indirectly help you showcase your products and services. And whenever you align your blog content strategically, you can kind of use them as a sales tool as well. And I think a lot of times people don't realize that. And that's one thing that I like teach with my clients and just like on my Instagram and stuff, like you can very much so align your content with what's going on in your business to make sure that, like, you know, for example, you just had a story sale launch recently and we worked together to make sure that your blog content the couple of months ahead was aligned with that launch so that you could talk about it. But that's not the sole purpose of the blog. If somebody isn't interested in story sale, they can still get value out of it. But at the end, you know, in your conclusion with the CTA, you're going to hear about your product or your service that you're launching. And so that's something I help people understand too. It's not just a place where you're like giving all the value away, like you're giving everything in your brain away. That's not the point. Of course, you know, we want to give value to our audience on a certain level, but also like use it as a place to showcase your products and services. That's totally okay. And I think that's something that's really overlooked with blog content. And so I love helping people kind of make that shift as well.
I love that so much. So much to unpack there. I feel like there's a lot of great opportunities that you pointed out here. I, for one, am a big fan of organic growth. I've experimented with ads in like the past probably 6 months of my business. But up until that point, it was all organic. It was all organic traffic. It was all trying to reach out and connect with people. And it's become so much easier to do that with a strong blog presence. And so I love that point that you made there. The other thing that just like blew my mind when you and I started working together was this idea that I can use my blog content as a launch runway as well. right?
100%. Because you're already doing that on social media. Like, people know that they need to have like pre-launch content on social media.
Right.
So I love helping them see, like, that's exactly the strategy that we're going to do with your blogs also. And that's one of my favorite parts of working with people, because it's so overlooked.
Yeah. And it makes so much sense. And it mm-hmm. feels so obvious right now, right? Mm-hmm. Almost a year into working with you. But I put so much energy in previous launches on social media and email marketing mm-hmm. that why not drive traffic as well on my blog, which is yeah. what I own. That's the real estate I own, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So it just makes all the sense in the world to utilize that as part of your launch runway. I love that.
And one thing I will say there is, because I can envision someone saying, well, isn't blog content supposed to be like evergreen? And mm-hmm. so this is where I help people understand. Yes. Like, the meat of your blogs, like, okay, for example, if we have a blog post that's kind of leading up to your launch of your service or whatever, the meat of your blog will be evergreen. Like, the content of it, if someone lands on it 6 months from now, whenever it is, that will be still be valuable. And then you're just going to adjust your conclusion and call to action to, you know, if you have a launch, if you're in the middle of the launch and you're wanting to promote that, you can absolutely do that. And then you can just go back and change it later to your waitlist link or something else that's more relevant. That's another beauty of blogs, is they can be edited and updated over mm-hmm. time as things in your business evolve. But like on social media, that's not really how it works, right? Like, you have the post right. and it's just done and it stays how it is. But that's what's so cool about blogs, is they can evolve. And I think that's kind of freeing for people, because once you have a bank of blog content, you can really just update it. Like, if you're not in a season of creating fresh content, like me, I'm about to go on maternity leave. So I'm actually about to do this for myself. I'm going to use what I've done in the past to just update it and refresh it so that the content is still relevant, but it's not me having to like reinvent the wheel. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to address that too, because I know evergreen is like a huge thing on people's mind, and they connect that to blog content for sure.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that we often underutilize that opportunity to let our business evolve, right? I'm all about giving ourselves permission to evolve as business owners, but also from a service or a product space, like allowing yourself permission to evolve
yep.
and allowing your blogs to do the same with you, right?
Yes, absolutely.
It doesn't have to be a static part of your business. It should evolve with mm-hmm. you. I love that.
100%.
So tell me, if we get really meta here, tell me what the must-have elements are for a really effective blog post. If we want to create a checklist of sorts for people to kind of work through in their brains, what's on your must-have list?
I love this. I have a little notes. I wanted to make sure I include these parts, because there is kind of a structure to an ideal, like, effective blog post, not only from an SEO standpoint, but also from your reader standpoint. Like, you want people to navigate to your blog and actually view it as like helpful and effective. So number one is definitely like an attention getting headline. So just as you have titles and headlines on like your home, about, like, services page, you want your blog post to also have that, because that's the first thing that people are seeing. And that's going to be the thing that gets them to actually click. Like, you want it to be enticing enough to get them to click, but also clear enough so that they know what the blog post is even about. That's one thing, you know, I'm sure somebody would disagree with me, but I'm a big fan on clear versus cute. Obviously, mm-hmm. you know, you want to infuse your brand, and like, if you have like a really fun personality. Like, for me, I'm just kind of a more like straightforward person. That's just how I am. I know others that are very, very like creative with their titles and that kind of stuff, and it works for them. But like, if you're questioning it, clear versus cute is always my go-to, just so that your audience knows what they're getting. Yes. And then something that I see actually a lot of people missing is an engaging introduction in their blog post, because the thing with your introductions, this is kind of where you're going to meet people where they're at and address the problem they're facing, like, kind of describe what they're feeling like in the moment, and then kind of say, like, good news, this blog post is going to help you with that. So oftentimes I actually have a membership where I review people's blog posts for them, and we'll give feedback. And this is a theme that I often see, and I totally get it, because it's kind of hard sometimes, for whatever reason, writing an introduction post or an introduction for your post is hard. So one tip that I love to give is, if you struggle with writing your introductions, don't start there. Like, start with the meat of your content first. Like, write your entire blog post and then come back to your introduction. And honestly, like, lean on something like ChatGPT to help you. Like, I'm totally for that. I'm not for AI writing your entire blog post for you, but I am for, like, using it as a tool. And I think that's one good thing that it can be used for, is to help you craft a solid introduction for your blog post, for sure.
Oh, I love that. That was a tip I gave my literature students. Like, write your introduction last.
Yes.
Have your thesis statement. Have that, like, that framework in place.
Yep.
But write that introduction last, because it needs to pack a punch. I love
that. Absolutely. I'm going to close this curtain. Sorry. You're good. Hang on. I just don't want it to, like, mess up the video.
You're good.
And then, so after the introductions, you're of course going to kind of dive into the meat of your content. I keep saying, like, the meat of your content. So this is just your main body text, like, whatever your topic is about. But one thing I want to say here is, let's forget the roles of English class. We're not writing in paragraph form here. This is another tip that I have to give, like, so often. And it makes so much sense, because that's how we were kind of taught to write. And so we have to unlearn some of these things. But the main thing with your blog posts, you want them to be very skimmable for your audience. Some people in your audience will read every single word. That's just how people are. I am actually kind of one of those people. I love to read the whole thing. But some people just going to, like, I don't know what it is. But some people aren't like that. Actually, I would probably say the majority aren't. So you want to make your blog posts very skimmable. And one way to do that is to break up your paragraphs, you know, use bolds, italics, like, I'm a big fan of emojis. Basically make your content kind of just more skimmable any way that you can. And one way to do that for sure is to use subheadings throughout your main body text. So essentially what you're going to do there is you're just kind of splitting up your content into sections. And that also, it helps with SEO, because your subheading should be kind of infused with keywords and things like that. We're not going to, like, keyword stuff to make it, like, you know, what is she talking about? But you want to just make it easier on your reader. That's really the goal here. So even if you naturally write in paragraph form, at the end, during your editing process, just break up the lines a little bit. It's okay to have, like, one-liners. That I do that all the time. So that's a huge tip that I have for an effective blog post, for sure.
I love that.
And then within your main body text, use visual elements, like, whenever you can, like, whenever it makes sense. Personally, I'm not huge on, like, using a ton of images in your blog post unless it makes sense to. Like, yes, sometimes an infographic makes sense. Sometimes there's a picture that just goes really well with whatever you're talking about. But definitely consider visual elements. But also, like I mentioned, emojis, that's a form of a visual element, because you're attaching like this little symbol with whatever you've just said. So don't shy away from that. I know some people don't love, like, being, like, using emojis in their brand. I, for one, am a huge fan of it. So I definitely think that's a way to, that's a way to infuse, just kind of, again, making it a little more easier for your reader to, read.
Yeah.
And then lastly, also a piece that I see people missing quite a bit is a strong conclusion that includes a very relevant call to action. So sometimes if you're creating content that is just kind of more evergreen, there's not something that you're specifically trying to promote, people tend to skip the call to action. But what you can do there is make it general. Like, could it be subscribing to your newsletter? Is there another blog post that kind of could relate to this that they should go read? Sometimes it is just, like, following you on Instagram. But basically just wrap up your post really well, like, in a bow. Consider it, like, you know, the cherry on top of, like, the ice cream, the bow on the present. That's what your conclusion is, to kind of remind them what you just went over, and then give them additional ways to either get support from you or additional ways to, like, learn from you. So, like I said, newsletter subscription, reading other blog posts, following you on Instagram, those are kind of general, but then you can make them more specific if your blog relates to a specific service or offer that you have. So
I love that.
As a just kind of, like, review, so attention getting headline, engaging introduction, subheadings with, like, your main body text, making it very skimmable for your readers, visual elements, and then a conclusion with a strong call to action.
Yeah, girl. I knew you'd have, like, a quick little list for us. And I love that you dove into each of those parts, right? It all creates that cohesive whole that is going to keep someone reading, is going to keep them on your website longer. And that's always good, right?
That is the goal, for sure.
I love it. I love it. So I have a lot of photographers who listen, and I serve a lot of photographers. And one of the questions I get most frequently from them is, should I still be blogging about my sessions? Like, I saw the Jones family last Tuesday. Should I still be blogging about my sessions? Or should I be focusing just on that evergreen type of content that you were creating? Or is the answer somewhere in the middle?
Yeah, that's a great question. So short answer is definitely both. So kind of what you're referring to, that's essentially like a case study. So like if we were to think of a different service provider, people typically do case studies, you know, let's say a copywriter does someone's website. So they're going to typically write a case study for that client, showcasing what they did, maybe walk through the process that they followed. And I think that's great because it kind of provides a twist on a portfolio because any service provider, photographers, copywriters, whoever it is, they typically want to be able to showcase their work. So that's a way to do that. So what I would say there is that's actually going to be one of your blog content pillars. So everyone needs blog content pillars, which is essentially the categories that you create content for. I love to say like create like 5 to 8 content pillars. You can start with like 3 to 5 if you're not really sure what those would be. But case studies should be one for you for sure, especially photographers. So I would not say to stop doing that, but I would say I don't want that to be the only type of blogs that you're creating. And the reason for that is because as a photographer, like you have a wide range of blog topics that you could create for people. Like you can be a true source of like, okay, this person, like even if like, you know, for example, if you live in Texas and you're a photographer in Texas and, you know, someone lives in Georgia like me, that I'm probably not going to ever hire you as a photographer unless the world's aligned and we're like, you know, I'm in Texas and need a photographer, but I could still view you as my go-to person for photography information. Like what are the best colors to wear? Like the capture on camera. And then also photographers especially have a unique opportunity to build their local SEO since people are very location specific, like photographers, for example, and also people in like the wedding industry, people that are serving specific areas, you want to focus on local SEO as well. And so your blog content can help you do that whenever you create topics like blank places to take engagement photos or, you know, something like that. So I would definitely want to see a wide variety of blog content for you. Definitely keep doing kind of like that case study style to display your portfolio. And I think it's awesome whenever you can kind of provide a little story to go along with like the gallery that you're showing, because that just helps create a little more emotion for your reader and be like, oh, I could see myself having a photo shoot like this too. But yeah, I would want to see both for sure. Like evergreen content and kind of that more like portfolio case study style content for sure.
I love that answer. And I think the point that I really wanted to have you really make here is that you don't have to stop doing what you've been taught. It's about adding on top, right?
Absolutely. Definitely. Yeah. Don't stop. Like, I mean, cause people come to me and I actually have a lot of people that come to me who have been blogging in their business before, and they just want to see like, okay, how can I do this better or different based on like how people are using blogs today? So that's a great example of like that. Like definitely don't stop, like that you want that kind of content on your website 100%, but just add to it, you know, based on like what I'm saying.
I love that. I think the story piece as well is really important. I mean, beautiful imagery can go so far, but you need that copy, not only for Google to crawl it, but also to tell the story, right? Yes. And so it's about pairing that beautiful story with those beautiful images.
Yep.
And it's not about recreating the wheel. It's not about going back to 2021 and updating all of those blog posts.
No.
It's starting now. And
definitely. And, you know, I'm glad you bring that up because sometimes people get so overwhelmed with like, oh my gosh, like I have to redo everything I've already done. And no, no, no. Like, that's not what I want you to do at all. This is not supposed to feel overwhelming for you. This is just supposed to help you see how to kind of shift what you've been doing and just start fresh. Like, there's no reason to go back and like change anything. There's, you know, like we kind of said earlier, your business evolves. Like what you did 2 years ago, it doesn't have to reflect what you're doing now. It's totally fine. So I'm glad you made that point because it's not supposed to feel overwhelming at all.
Yeah. Love that. I love that. So one of the things that I love to share with people is that blogging or writing in general for your business doesn't have to be something you take on by yourself. It's not a solo endeavor. So whether it's seeking support on retainer with you or seeking support through your new offer.
Yes.
I want to talk through why that's such a key piece of the puzzle for people who are really ready to make their blog content more readable and really work harder for them. So tell us a little bit about why you like to partner up with business owners in this way, whether it's via retainer or your new membership.
I love this. So one thing I will say is that sometimes people are scared to hand off this type. It's like, how could someone else possibly write content for my business? Like, it just doesn't make sense. I'm the expert here for sure. But sometimes it's so hard for us as business owners to see something in our business. Like, we're so close to it. You know, it's like, we're so close to our business. It's hard for us to see all these content opportunities. So what I love to help people do through various offers. So I do strategy calls. I have one-on-one like retainer clients. So that's done for you work that I do on an ongoing basis. And I'll kind of touch on that in just a second about why I prefer to work with people in that way. But I also have a membership that people can join. And so basically through all of those, I help people kind of just like identify content ideas that they've possibly not thought of before in their business. Because even me, like I get in a rut of like, what am I going to create? Like what new content can I create? And so sometimes it's just so valuable to have that extra set of eyes, someone that's on the outside, that's not like in the day to day, to help you see what's possible. So that's kind of like my first thing that I wanted to say there. If you're the type of person that feels like I could never have someone else write my content, maybe you don't have to, but maybe, you know, we could do a strategy call or something to help you see new content ideas that you've not thought of before. So some people don't want to hand it off, and that makes total sense. But then for the people that do, their eyes start to open in a different way, and it helps them really connect their blog content to social media or to their emails. Mm-hmm. And so that's something I love so much too, is whenever it can kind of just become like this whole situation where all of your platforms are married together, because they're not supposed to be separate. Like your content is supposed to be interconnected. So a lot of times people love whenever they can hand one part of it off and then kind of handle the rest themselves, because it kind of frees that space. It's so hard as business owners to like do it all.
Yes.
So that's one reason that people choose to like bring me on to actually write for them. But if you're the type that's like, no, I want to do the writing. I actually enjoy the writing. I just want like additional help. So that's where my membership comes in. And this is something brand new that I launched in December to my, I hosted a challenge called Blogmas, and this, the whole idea was to get people to, commit to blogging in their business before the new year. It was 3 weeks. I loved it. It was so fun. And then at the end of that, I launched a membership, and then I opened it to the public in January. And so with this, it's kind of like a done with you, service. So this is people, you know, you have a portal, there's different trainings and things like that in there. But one of the big pieces is that you get weekly like feedback accessibility. People submit their blogs or their emails to me, and I actually am providing feedback just as if I was editing someone's post. So it's really, really valuable, and people love that. And it's building their confidence, and it's building their writing skill, because some people think like, I'm not a good writer. And I just don't believe that's true. I just think that you have to learn how to, you know, write in a way that people want to read and are going to learn best. So that's kind of the membership piece of it. But one thing I want to mention about why I tend to work with people on retainer, and I do require like a 3-month commitment in the beginning, is because blogs are a long game play. Like they're a long-term situation, like for you to see the best results. And so I don't want people to like come to me, work with me for a month, think that it doesn't work, and then be like, okay, bye. Because it's a perspective shift. That's all it really is. It's like, okay, we're used to the instant gratification of social media. That's where you're going to get engagement. And like, whenever you implement consistency on social media, it does grow more quickly. Like I'll admit, right? But that's not necessarily how it works with blogs. It does take a little bit of time. I always tell people, give it like 3 to 6 months, but honestly, like a year is where you're really going to start seeing like some changes within your like analytics and things like that. So that's kind of where, that's why I designed my core offer to be retainer-based work with people. And I will say the people that I work with on a retainer have been with me for, I think all my clients have been with me a year plus, like, well, I would say probably 6 months plus. Mm-hmm. And they're starting to see like the results, and it's like the fruits of the efforts that we've been doing. You know, it's not just because, oh, I want you to like be a lover of blogs. Like that's not the point. It's so that you can really see the results that come with it over time.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love that. I think that having a partner in creating the words that become the basis of my content yes. has been the biggest revolutionary thing I've done in my business in the last year.
Because that's what I hear. People say that they have a bottleneck with their content. It's like, I don't know what to post on social. I don't know what to create for my emails. And so that's why I always say blogs first, everything else second. And that's really what you've done. And you do it so well. And it just like is so freeing for your brain, because it's like, I already have a basis of what the content should be. And then you're able to run with it however you prefer.
Yeah. I think it's just been like, I told you when I initially hired you, it was about nurturing my own business while I'm nurturing my clients.
Yes.
And not feeling like I was creating for this, creating for that, and feeling a lack of cohesion there.
Yeah.
And so I just want to like dispel the myth out there that like copywriters need help too, right? Like we may be writers at heart, but it doesn't mean that we can get out of our own way sometimes.
For sure.
It doesn't mean that we don't need support. And so that idea of being too close to my business to really focus in on what kinds of new ideas I could bring to the table, that was definitely a piece that I was experiencing, but it was also that backlog, that bottleneck of how do I create content in a consistent way that's engaging, and having a partner in that has been truly transformational. So I'm so grateful for you.
Yes. You're like one of my favorites to write for. I love whenever I see on my to-do list, Sarah's blogs for insert month. It's my favorite. But that it's so common. And one thing I'll say too is I just want to like reiterate, people do typically view the different platforms out there as all separate things. It's like, okay, I need to write a blog post today, a newsletter tomorrow, a social media post for the week. Like it's like so overwhelming. And that is one of my favorite things to help people understand. They can really just all come together. It doesn't mean that you were like copying and pasting or repeating yourself everywhere. And by the way, you should be repeating yourself everywhere. Like not everyone sees all of your content. And it also takes people so long to actually grasp what you're saying. So I just want to like dispel that myth as well, is it's okay to repeat yourself in different places. That's the point. Your business should come back to really like the one main message that you have. So that's something that I love to help people understand. I'm glad that you've been able to like experience that, because it's just so freeing. Like it really is.
Yeah. I love the idea of a core message and returning to that time and time again, right? I have core messages in my business that are all related to, you know, copy and wanting it to be personality packed, not generic, and wanting it to be SEO friendly and not generic.
Right.
And so I think that there's different ways to hit at that same core message, but what really is important is continuing to hammer that cohesive.
Exactly. Absolutely. I repeat myself so much in my blogs. What I always tell people is when you're bored with yourself, that's a really good sign. Like somebody in my, it's a really good sign. Somebody in my membership the other day, she submitted a blog post for review and she was like, am I repeating myself too much? Like I feel like I'm saying the same thing over and over. And I was like, and I just kind of helped her see why that's a good thing. Because another thing to remember is not every single person is going to read every single blog post you have. I mean, some people may, like if you have like core fans, which is awesome. Like I love those people, you know, but in a general sense, if someone just like stumbles on your blog from Google, that you don't know where they're coming in at it, like from, like you don't know where they're landing first. So it's really important to keep that in mind too. People aren't going to read your blog post in order. And I think that's something that we kind of have trouble considering, because it's like, if I'm doing this task weekly, it's like someone's going to read this blog post this week and this one a different week. And it's just not really how it works. Like that's not how it works at all. You know, even on Instagram, that's not necessarily how it works. Like if people land on your profile for the first time, they might click a post that was like six posts down or whatever it is. So you just never know where someone is coming in at your business from, or into your business from. And, you know, that's something that you just kind of have to help yourself work through, because it's easy for us to get bored with ourselves. But truly, if you're bored with yourself, if you're bored with what you're saying, it's probably a really good sign.
I love that. I love that. Thank you so, so much for sharing your perspective. I would love for you to share with everybody where they can find you, where they can connect with you, and a little bit more about that Writer's Room membership.
Yes. So I am natty.writes on Instagram. I do hang out on Instagram quite a bit, but of course, if you want all of my juicy content that I love so much. It's nattywrites.com. You can find my blog there. I do have a weekly newsletter called Notes from Natty. It goes out every Friday. Would love to see you there as well. But the Writer's Room membership, it's currently on a wait list. I plan to open it back in June or July. And that's just to kind of control like the membership in a really good way to make sure people are being served in the best capacity, because you do have access to that weekly feedback that I do. We also do something called Co-Writing Wednesdays, which is, I would say that, and then the feedback piece is everyone's favorite part, because we all come on Zoom together and we actually work on our business. Because how many times as business owners do you pour everything into your clients and then you don't have any time for yourself? So that's a way to really intentionally make sure people are working on content for their business. So yes, you can find the waitlist at nattywrites.com, and the membership tab is just my main menu. So that's where people can find all the things.
Love it. Well, I'm so excited to watch you kind of birth this baby. Yes. And see this big transition in your life and celebrate all of the things that you've accomplished this year.
Dude, thank you so much for having me. It was so fun.
Of course. I'm sending Natty a big virtual hug for joining me today on the Copywriter On Call podcast. Again, be sure to check out the show notes. We'll have all the links there for you for the Writer's Room and how you can follow Natty on Instagram as well. Thank you so much for listening. And as always, this is your Copywriter On Call. Signing out.
Thanks for listening to the Copywriter On Call podcast. If this episode has you feeling all sorts of inspired to show up as yourself online, click that subscribe button so you don't miss my stories or practical advice to help you express your quirky, vulnerable, and authentic self online. Chat soon.